Hi, I'm Jamie Greenberg. I'm a celebrity makeup artist and a founder of a beauty line called Jamie Makeup. And what I love about beauty is that it changes every day. And you could find something beautiful one day and then the next day not, and vice versa. So beauty is ever changing.
From New York City, you're listening to Beauty is Your Business, covering the intersection of innovation and business in the beauty industry.
Hi, this is Mimi Banks, and you're listening to Beauty is Your Business. Today, I have the pleasure of welcoming Jamie Greenberg to the show, celebrity makeup artist, founder, and amazing person. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Mimi. You know, my best friend's name is Mimi.
I did not. You know, the more that we talk and get to know each other, the more that we find out about each other.
It's pretty crazy. It's wild.
I think it's worth noting that we met recently and realized that we literally almost lived across the street from each other, that I'm looking out my window right now in California at your old house.
Yes, I lived there for 7 years. And then Mimi found out that I was moving. So she said, okay, we can move there now.
Out of all the places in the valley, of all the streets, here we are today. And now we come to talk about you. I'm so excited.
We were meant to be. I'm excited too. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. I think looking at like what you've done in your career is so inspiring and also, frankly, really cool. You work with a lot of really cool celebrities. And even watching you and getting to know you, you have these deep bonds and relationships and such long-term relationships with the people that you work with. I just want to know more about how this all started.
Oh my goodness. Thank you. Yeah. Well, I was just a girl with a dream and I went to college for filmmaking. I thought that's what I wanted to do. I played soccer in college. I studied film and photography, and then I graduated and moved to New York City and I got a job in editing and I did that whole thing. And then part of me realized I was missing something majorly because I love human connection. I love talking to people. And to be honest with you, when you're editing, you're in a room by yourself or maybe one person telling you what to do. So I never made it that far in that career, but it was fun and I met a lot of cool people. And then I just kind of tried to find myself in New York by doing many different things, from like stand-up comedy to waiting tables to selling printing to I had every odd job. And after a while, I always was brought back to beauty. I was known as the girl who did everybody's makeup in college. And even on my films, my professors were like, you should do makeup for everybody's films. I mean, it wasn't even an option. I didn't know that was something you could even do. So one summer, my husband and I decided he wanted a change in his career. I wanted a change. We were like, let's move to California. We moved out here. But before we did, I got a job for the summer before we moved at Ulta in Oxford Valley, Pennsylvania. Word up, Oxford Valley, Pennsylvania. I worked on the floors. I had to unload the trucks at 4:30 in the morning. I made $7 an hour, but I was surrounded by product. And it was a real grad school to learn about product. Also to learn about how like retail works. I'm a good salesperson. I can sell. So that's what I did there. I sold and I had fun and I'd give makeovers. And it was just like, it was so electrifying and satisfying. And the exchange of making someone feel good was so powerful to me that I was like, this is what I want to do. And then I'm like, I did it. And then we were going to move. And they're like, oh, we're opening an Ulta in Los Angeles. So I went out, got a job and helped open the first Ulta in Los Angeles.
No way.
Yeah, it's on La Brea and Santa Monica. And like literally put every single thing into that store. Like we walked in, there was nothing in there. It was just a blank floor. And so worked there. And then I've always been a self-starter and I always had initiative. So I was like, what is the next thing I need to do? And it was like, I need to work at a beauty counter. So I went and worked at Bloomingdale's and Beverly Center. I represented a brand called Paula Dorf. And then I moved on to Dior because they took that out, but like tripled the counter. I just loved pulling people and being like, hey, you want to feel better? Who doesn't want to feel better? So I also honed my artistry skills at Bloomingdale's because I knew how to do like two things on like my skin tone. And that was kind of it. So I spent my 10,000 hours there pulling people, totally messing up, then getting a knack for things. And then if people liked it, they'd buy. And if they didn't, I would learn and they would just walk away and be like, that girl was crazy. So it was a really great, again, grad school. I got paid to go to grad school. Meanwhile, just trying to figure out again, like what I was going to do with my life. And then I evolved. I evolved to working as a freelancer for Dior and then a freelancer for Gillian Dempsey. And Gillian Dempsey, even though she'll deny it, just opened my eyes to a whole career of celebrity makeup artistry. She had a brand called Deluxe. They needed somebody. My husband found it on Craigslist. I had 25 hours with Dior and I needed like 20 more hours for the week. So I started selling Deluxe beauty and I loved it. But when I went to go meet Jillian, I went to her office and she had pictures of all these celebrities that I knew. And I was like, huh. And they're like, she's like a big celebrity makeup artist. And I was like, what's that? I didn't even like put two and two together. And I was like, oh my God, someone has to do the girls for red carpets and magazine shoots. Like, how fun is this? And so it was like another genre. And so I started assisting her. And then one thing led to another. And she got bought out by Avon and became the Avon color lead. And then I followed her and went to like a show in Texas where she was speaking and I was doing makeup while she spoke. And they were like, will you do the makeup of these like president and executives over at Mark, which was like Avon's younger line. And they loved me. And it was like an instant love affair of personality. And they signed me. I didn't even have an agent. I didn't have anything. They signed me as their makeup artist, their makeup ambassador. And they like flew me to New York. And like, I literally thought I had won the lottery. I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. And then in the meantime, then I started parlaying into like television, reality television, and did like a bunch of shows and thought I had made it and thought this was it. And like, I was making $400 a day. I went from making $7 an hour to $400 a day. And I was like, I'm good. When you like something, you just keep trying to figure out how do I get more immersed in this situation and how do I was self-motivated. I created a little company called Funny Face with a girl that I met at Bloomingdale's and we used to go because we were both funny. And so we were like Funny Face. And then we would go down to USC and knock on the sorority doors and be like, hey, and give them our cards and be like, we'll come and do you guys for your formals and charge them like $35 a face. I was doing all the work to get to where I needed to be. And then I started to hound the agents at the Wall Group and I assisted everybody. I was the best assistant you could have. Like, I wish I could find myself as an assistant because I was literally no days off, balls to the wall. I would do anything. I would like pick up dry cleaning. I would do things that weren't even related to makeup just to like get in good with these people. I didn't know what the path was. Like, how do you get there?
Totally. Because there is no path. I mean, it's exactly the path that you created. What was the weirdest thing that you did or had to do?
One time, a makeup artist that I was very friendly with had me take her kids to a birthday party because she had to work. And I was petrified. I didn't have kids or anything. Like, I was like in my young 30s and like, I don't know what I'm doing. So I was so paranoid to drive them to this party. It was a skating party. And she was like, when you're done, you'll just come home and drop them off. And I was like, okay, I took her car because it had the seats in the back. And so I took my phone and put it in my purse because I was like, I don't want to be distracted driving someone else's kids. Like, I was scared. And the place was like probably 25 minutes away. I get there and I look at my phone and there's like 100 missed calls. I pick up the phone and they were like screaming at me. They're like, oh my God, where are you? We're driving on our way to the party too. You left with her kit in the car, like her makeup kit. But I'm like, you guys gave me the car to drive. I didn't do it. This is all on you. And I put my phone away because I didn't want to be distracted. So it was kind of like a cluster, but everybody was fine, but it was not cool.
That's what makes us who we are today. I'm sure you always check the car now before you go anywhere to make sure that something's in it or not in it. When did you go from like assistant to lead?
So it was a long process. So it was like a couple years and it was just like, I was assisting. And then my agency used to have something, or they're called the Wall Group. And they used to have something called Off the Wall. And it was all the up and coming makeup artists and hairstylists and fashion. I mean, they don't even do this anymore, but it was like cruel because they would just keep you on there until you got the right pictures. It was all about the pictures. And I wasn't really a editorial artist. I was more like, I can make somebody look the best version of themselves for a red carpet artist. And so I would never get the pictures and it took forever and ever and ever. And then finally, I was like years, a couple years, they like were like, okay, they sent me enough jobs. And I feel like the women that I had assisted were like, you're going to lose her if you don't sign her. So do something about it. And then I got signed and I've actually been with them ever since. I am loyal. I'm a loyal person. So I've never left.
That's incredible. So how long has it been now?
Maybe like 15, 14 years.
Wow. So people who don't know, what does it mean that you sign with someone? So how does it work? So basically, if I want to work with you, I have to call the wall group and I negotiate your time payment through them?
Yes, exactly. It's really funny because it's such like a New York, LA thing to be like, I have an agent. But if you think about it, it makes sense. You need somebody to kind of keep track of everything. And so everybody calls these agencies. There's like a bunch of them now, and book a makeup artist, a hairstylist, a fashion stylist, a photographer. Literally any job in the trades usually has an agent to represent you. So you can be the artist and they can take all your money.
They can take all your money. And also you don't have to deal with the finances when people are late or just, you know, how much it costs. So let's talk award season. Let's talk award shows. Let's talk celebrity. How do you come up with the look? What is the process for getting celebrities ready for the red carpet?
So the process is pretty much a collaborative one. Sometimes the celebrity alone will have a pretty strong point of view of what they want. And then others will be like, let's collab. Let's pull reference. Let's talk. We'll be all on a group chat and discussing the look and discussing the vibe. And really, everybody's got to be on board with each other, because if one thing is off, it can ruin a look. And I know that sounds so trivial based on like the world, but entertainment is to pull you out of the real world. So we take it very seriously. I definitely don't take it as seriously as most. I'm just not like that. So I am very aware of how lucky I am to do this job, but we will sit and we will really try to figure out what goes best with this. If the hair is up, should we have, you know, a bold lip? If the hair is down and the dress is loud, do we go nude? You know, there's just so many scenarios of what you can come to as a group, but it is pretty collaborative. And that's fun. It's really fun to collaborate.
So I'd love to talk about the people that you work on. I'm sure that a lot of people know who they are. Chelsea Handler. That's one I've seen. I think you've been working with her for a long time.
Yeah, I have been working with her for a long time. She recently was hosting the Critics' Choice Awards, and Adir Averjal was on hair, and Molly Levin was the stylist. Now, Adir is somebody who really likes to get into the pre-prep of everything, and he's such an amazing artist. He's definitely one of the best hairstylists out there. He's a real sculptor. And so he would come with his ideas, and then we would come with ours, and Molly would come with the dresses. And then Chelsea's really easygoing. She's just like, what do you guys think? You know, she's really easygoing. So we wanted her to just look like the queen that she is, just like glowing, body glowing, face glowing, hair gorgeous. Just, we wanted her to look a cut above everybody else, you know? So she really pulled it through. I mean, another thing that people don't realize is like a lot of these celebrities will be on really good behavior before they perform on these shows and stuff or red carpets. Like you have to watch everything you do, you know? I mean, if you eat sushi the night before, you can be puffy. So it's a lot of just making sure everybody is on the top of their game. And that's when you get the best product. Yeah, it was really fun. She's so fun. Obviously, she's exactly, you get what you see. I definitely have noticed that in my career, I attract all the funny, confident women. Kaylee Cuoco is another one that I do a lot for red carpets. So with Kaylee, she'll take something and run. So if you're like, hey, did you see that music video with blah, blah, blah? She's like, let's do something like that. You know, she likes to kind of get creative and use different textures, and she's colorful. And then I have someone like Rashida Jones who, you know, sometimes she's all about a bold lip or maybe like a cat eye or maybe a bold cat eye. And with all my girls, I enjoy bringing their visions to life. You know, sometimes I'll get somebody that's like, just do you. Julie Bowen's always like, do you, like whatever you want to do. I've worked with Kristen Stewart a million times too. And she is like, her and Adir are like come as a pair. Jillian is her main makeup artist, and she has many makeup artists, but she's always very creative. Like it's always outside the box with her, which is also exciting. It's fun as an artist to always just walk into something new and have to try something new.
And that's great. And it gives you that freedom of expression to be able to play and to really help them bring their beauty from the inside out. And speaking of being an artist and tools, I'm always interested to learn, like, What's in your kit? What are your top products in your kit?
It's so funny because it's changed so much. Back in the olden days, when I started, there wasn't as much of a choice, especially with like really quality products that would stand the test of a day. So now it's kind of thing where like, I'm like a revolving door of new product. I get so much stuff sent to me. And so I'm always trying stuff and then I'll be like, oh, I love this. And then I'll put it in my kit and then end up giving it to my clients. It's just a revolving door. So I think that nowadays there are so many things to choose from, but every line has something amazing and also things that I don't really like. It's like going to a restaurant, really. It's like finding things that you like on the menu. I'm a connoisseur of everything skin and beauty. So when I find new things, I like to experiment and then introduce to people. I have something called Swag Bag. I don't really advertise it because we're sold out and have a crazy waiting list, but it's to 360 women a month. I send out a bag of product that I think is awesome that I've curated. So that's been going on for like 5 years.
Oh my God, I want in on that. I want in.
I know.
I want in. Yes. And speaking of wanting in, something else that I discovered on social and we talked about in your intro is that you have your own products. So you get to experience all these products. And then what led you to having your own?
So, I mean, as a makeup artist, you always are creating things out of other products to get the final texture finish that you want. So I tried a couple of times. I collaborated with some brands like ColourPop. I had a collaboration with twice before they were like really, really big. And I loved it. I thought it was so fun and I was always good at selling. And so I tried to, you know, work with some people. It just didn't work out. And then 2 years before COVID, my husband and I were talking and he's like, what do you want to do? Like, what have you not achieved? And I was like, I'd really like to have my own product. And he's like, let's try it. Let's just start with one thing. We'll make it and we'll see what happens. So he has a company called, it's a creative company called Caveat. And his partner, Evan. And so Josh and Evan had this company. And so they helped me with my brand identity, my marketing strategy, the artwork and everything behind it. And then I was making the product. I was the product developer. So it was like a perfect match. And we made the Blylighter. And then COVID happened. And we're like, let's just launch it anyway. We learned so much from making this product. It is not easy. I make everything from scratch. So if you're just like getting something already made and putting your name on it, that's easy. But to make something from scratch, in a component that isn't like everybody else's is not the easiest thing. So we did that and we did so well. We made our money back in like 3 months. And then we're like, let's make something else. And then we made the Bloss. And then that took a year and a half because we've never done this before. So it was a learning curve. But I loved every minute of it. I still love it. And then we got a little too cocky because we're like, okay, we launched the Bloss, which is a bomb gloss. And we decided after 90 days, we made our money back. So we're like, okay, I have an audience. People buy. It's all direct to consumer. We had great PR and we were like, let's develop 4 things now. So that's where we're at now. We have a bunch of products. We have products in the pipeline. And as a small business, we're now like starting to run out of things. And the supply chain is something we're learning about now. Which is a little, it's better late than never, but it's very hard because people are like, what a great problem to have. And I'm like, it's great and it's not great because I can't just order 5,000 of something. I have to order 100,000 of the component. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's just been a learning curve, but we are in a great place. I love it. Everything I make, I mean, people just love. So it's just great. Like I came out with a makeup remover because I felt like I loved all the cleansing balms. And this is a very long-winded answer. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore, but I loved cleansing balms, but I did not like how messy they were. So I was like, why aren't we spraying makeup remover on our face? Like, I don't understand. So I created a makeup remover and it sold out in 3 months. And now we're trying to get it back in the market and it takes forever. So I love it. I love having like little things that I think I would need. And then I find that there's a gajillion women that feel the same way as me. I feel like the makeup business is so overwhelming that I just wanted to simplify things. And people say that, but like, I feel like I'm really doing it. And if you ever play with my stuff, you'll see that. Everyone's like, it's so easy. It is so easy.
It's true that everyone does say that. And what's kind of cool also for you is that you have a built-in community already on social.
Exactly. And I'm really lucky and I love my community and they're the best and they're the coolest. When we were starting to come out with this line, they were like, how do you want to decorate this? And I was like, I want it to be really chic, black and white with the font to be like block and did it. And they're like, why? And I'm like, it's chic. And my husband's partner is like, you're not chic. And I'm like, what? And he's like, no, you're the girl that lets everyone sit at the table. And I was like, you know what? Yes, you're right. I'm going to be authentic. And thank God I did. Every product that I make is designed by some artist in the world. And it's whimsical. It's fun. It's not too serious. It's easy and it's inclusive. And so I feel like that is important to me, that people don't feel like they can't be what everybody else is. And I live by that. I treat people like that. And now I have a product that hopefully will make you feel like that as well.
And now everybody who's listening to this wants to buy your products. Where can they find it if they're not sold out, or where can they start looking for it or getting on a wait list? What's the best way?
JamieMakeup.com.
So easy. I love it. We talked again for a second about social, and I don't want to miss the opportunity to talk more about your incredible community and the content that you share and how real you are. It's not that you're not chic. It's not that you're not luxury, but it's so relatable that people feel that you know them. I've seen the comments. I see how you talk to the camera, and it's so cool to be able to have that relationship with the audience versus a lot of other people talk about Instagram versus reality and how curated and polished. And you're like, I'm just myself. Here's my experience and I want to share it with you.
Yeah. I'm like, I find that refreshing. I've always been like the underdog. I've always had to work really hard for whatever I've received. And so I feel like it's just a breath of fresh air. I celebrate authenticity in people. I think people are so interesting and everybody is different and everybody has a story to tell and everybody has a different beginning, middle, and end. And it is such a unique thing. And we all try to conform into all doing the same thing. And it's such a shame because you're just masking like all your goodness. So I feel like that messaging is really important to me. And so by leading, I find the same people that feel that way or feel that like maybe they're not good enough for this or that. And so I'm that club that's like, dude, we're all in this together. We're all struggling. Everybody's got a struggle story. Everything you watch, you think like, oh, these people are perfect. Nobody's perfect. Everybody's dealing with something, but let's just like fuel each other and in positivity and somehow support each other. And as I've gotten older, that has meant so much more to me. And so I really do only surround myself with people that make me feel good. Life's too short. And when you're young, you're still trying to figure it out. I think that I'm a people pleaser at heart. So it took me a little longer than most. And I look at a lot of like 20 somethings that are like, they already know who they are and comfortable in their own skin. And I'm like, good for you. Like, you're going to go far, because I feel like I wasted a lot of time just trying to figure that out. At least I've figured it out. And now I want to create an environment for women to feel safe and not judged and be who they are and know that it's okay to be themselves. And it sounds like bullshit, but it's real. That's what I love about my community. It's so nice to have it to talk to people. I've always been like that. I like to talk to real people.
No, I love it because it's even honest thoughts. Over 40 with skin discoloration, buy or pass. It's real conversation, real talk. But I think also the coolest part is it's not just the real talk, but your real talk, and you work in the celebrity culture that sometimes is positioned as if you're not allowed to be a real person. And so the fact that somebody is celebrated and you give that realness, it's refreshing.
Thank you. You get me, Mimi.
I do. I really do. So if someone wants to contact you, where can they find you? Now that we're talking about social, we're talking about you and where they want to be part of your community.
So you can always DM me on Instagram. I really do try to get back to everybody. Sometimes I don't, but I really try. Or the bots I hire. Just kidding. And also you can join on JamieMakeup.com. I have a crew that you can join. It's free. And it's just a newsletter every week that talks about like the latest things that I love or great discounts that I was given because I'm friends with all these brands or something cool that's coming up. And it's just a way to connect and be together. And you can always DM me. Don't get crazy. Sometimes I get somebody who will be like, ask me like literally 50 questions. I'm like, all right, we're going to have to charge now. Like, I'm happy to help, but I have to give some to everybody. But I do. It's my favorite part. It's my favorite part.
Thank you so much for sharing all of this. Like, I want to say like knowledge bombs, but thank you for sharing all of like your secrets, your passion, your success with us today. I think it's super inspiring and really enlightening because it's not obvious how everybody has gotten to where they are today. And I think your story is a true testament of somebody who set their eyes on something and did whatever it took to get there and learned how to get there and did it well.
Thank you. Now I'm like, my eyes are on the makeup business and that's the next mountain to climb. Always climbing a mountain, Mimi.
Always climbing a mountain. I can't wait to see and I can't wait to try these products. And I'm going to get myself some soon. But thank you so much, Jamie.
Thanks for having me.
This has been Beauty is Your Business, produced by Mouth Media Network. Keep in touch on Instagram and Facebook at Mouth Media Network and find prior episodes at beautyisyourbusiness.com and wherever the best podcasts are found. Your brand message can be on this show. Email us to find out more at podcast@mouthmedianetwork.com. Thank you for listening.